the darkness at thy speaking, it was done.
Welcome to Sermons from Zion Lutheran Church of Gwinner, North Dakota. Zion Lutheran Church is committed to the message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, for the church and the world. The following sermon is from Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise, and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, Tell no one of the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. The Lord, he continually revealed himself throughout history in time and space. He revealed himself to the people of the days of old. For example, the Lord came and appeared to Moses in the light of the burning bush, as we hear in the book of Exodus. As a result, Moses' face shined with the light of God's glory. And in today's gospel reading, we heard about the transfiguration. Jesus' face was shone like the sun. His clothes became dazzling white. And Moses and Elijah were also there with a bright cloud upon that high mountain. Considering all of this, what is this transfiguration really all about? What does this transfiguration teach us today? Right here and right now. Well, the transfiguration demonstrates Jesus' glory to us, no doubt about that. It demonstrates his majesty, that he is no ordinary man, not just some Jewish rabbi of the day. It really shows that he's much more. It shows us that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah, the maker and savior of the world. It also shows us that Jesus is the fulfillment of everything spoken in the Old Testament law and everything spoken by the Old Testament prophets, as we see Moses and Elijah there with him. Now, there's another dimension to this as well, and that is this. It is actually a miracle that not only teaches us about Jesus, but it also shows us something about ourselves. That is right, this miracle of the transfiguration that we heard about is meant to impact us right now. You see, Jesus typically did not just do miracles, just throw them out here and there. He did not waste them, but was very intentional about his miracles. He did not do them to show off, but he did these miracles for the purpose of granting faith to humanity. Yes, behind all of Jesus' miracles was his love for mankind and his intention of revealing himself to the world, to show the world what he was really about. Thus, his miracles were ways that he reached out into human history and into the human race, into some tragedy to address it. And by so doing, he granted faith while also at the same time revealing something about himself to the people and us. And so when we think of this transfiguration, yes, this transfiguration, this miracle of Jesus shining on that mountaintop with Moses and Elijah, and that voice of the Father testifying that Jesus is his own Son, we must above all consider how this miracle impacted Peter and James and John. And as we understand how this miracle affected Peter, James, and John, we will know a little bit more about how this miracle impacts us here today, how it impacts us personally. You see, this miracle did not end directly with Jesus saying this, you know, don't tell anyone, but rather he added, don't tell anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. In other words, do not speak of this until all is accomplished. So Peter, James, and John saw Jesus shine on that mountain, not for his own sake, but for their sake and our sake right here and right now. In other words, the miracle was revealed to Peter and James and John so that they could share this account of this miracle with us, with you, as baptized Christians. So to the point, what all of this means is this. The glory that lit up that sky that night is the glory that Jesus came to give to you. The glory that shone from his body is the glory that Jesus will impart to you, to your body, at the resurrection. Now, dear friends, by our baptism into Christ's body, we are given a glimpse. We're given a glimpse of that glory in this transfiguration miracle. We are given a sneak peek into the glory that we shall share with in the resurrection, that day when the trumpets will sound and the graves will burst open and our souls will be reunited with glorified bodies forever, alive, never to die, never to cry, never to feel pain ever again. But for all of this to come about, Jesus first had to come down that mountain and begin his walk up towards another mountain. Yes, indeed, today marks the descent of Jesus from that glorious mountain of the Transfiguration, showing his full glory, his full majesty, his full power. Today marks that day where he leaves that mountain and descends into the valley of suffering and then up to Mount Calvary. This is indeed where we are going as a church, as we heard in the children's lesson. We've been journeying all these last several weeks through the season of Epiphany up to the Mount of Transfiguration to behold Jesus in his full glory and his majesty. That's happened since Christmas to this day. But now today, the following weeks, we travel off of this mountain of glory and we travel down into the Valley of Lent. We travel towards Mount Calvary. But why the change of the mountains, you may ask? Why the change from this heavenly glory, which is very, very comfortable to see, very majestic and very powerful, why the change from this mountain to the glory of the cross? You see, my friends, because this is how Jesus would bring glory to our bodies. This is the reason why we must transition. This is the reason why Jesus had to come down off of that Mount of Transfiguration. This is how he would bring glory to our bodies, rescuing us from death and the icy grip of sin, by trading places with us at Mount Calvary, by taking our shame, by dying for the lost and the forsaken. See, Jesus, he dies your death to give you his life at Mount Calvary. He bears your shame to give you his glory at Mount Calvary. That's how much he loves you and how much he loves me and why he came down that Mount of Transfiguration and went to Mount Calvary. The three disciples that witnessed that transfiguration no doubt needed that memory, no doubt that they needed that memory, that vision, that glory in the back of their mind through the horror of Good Friday. But can you imagine their joy? Can you imagine their joy, that joy on Easter, their joy when they saw Jesus yet again glorified, never to be touched by death again? You see, the transfiguration glory that they witnessed that night on the mountain was only a small taste of the glory that was to be his, that is Jesus's, forever. And his death and his resurrection made that glory his gift to all believers, which is you. Now this changes everything, does it not? It changes how we face suffering. It changes how we think about death as well. And what is so remarkable is that this change has already begun in you because of what happened on the day that you, yes, you, each and every one of you, the day when you were baptized. You see, baptism, yes, baptism is like your own transfiguration. In fact, an ancient custom of the church calls for the newly baptized to be clothed in garments of white as they come to the baptismal font. This is a way of confessing that baptism is our own, yes, our very own transfiguration. Baptism is the moment when Jesus, he actually grabs a hold of us and he makes us his and he marks us with his glory. In baptism, Jesus is essentially saying this: you are my family, you are my sister, you are my brother, and you will share my glory with me forever and ever. But as we know from the Bible, after that passing moment of the transfiguration of Jesus, after that wonderful, majestic, powerful moment of Jesus lighting up like the sun, well, then came the suffering. Then came the dying of Jesus. And my friends, my dear friends, as it was true for Jesus, it is also true for you. You see, the glory that baptism promises to you is a glory that we will not have as our own in this world or in this life. Know our bodies, they will still grow old. They begin to creak. They begin to wear out. We can actually feel death in our bones, and we can sense it when it moves stealthily upon us at each of our birthdays. Indeed, even though we are baptized, the harsh reality is that we face death. Death, it looms before us. We approach it with each breath. And when the thought of death frightens us, because it certainly does, and we don't know if we can bear the suffering that we may well go through, the humiliation and the sorrow of death itself, then we understand, my friends, then we most certainly understand why Jesus gave us the miracle of the transfiguration, the miracle of our baptisms. You see, in love, Jesus shows us what we will be like in the end. In love, Jesus shows us what glory awaits us on the other side of suffering and death. Yes, even after our bodies have fallen apart and become food for worms, even after they've returned to the dust. Jesus, he shows us in the transfiguration, he shows us in our baptisms the glory that he has promised to give us on the day of his second appearing, the day that he comes for you and for me, the day that the grave will no longer be able to hold us down, the day when the jaws of death will be broken, the day when you are called out of the grave unto glory. You see, the vision of this glory gives us the courage to face death with boldness, even as we are tucked into our graves. Because we are baptized into Christ's death and his resurrection, death, my friends, get this, death is only a pathetic and pitiful little thing. It is only a moment. Yes, death, it can growl and snarl at you all it wants. It can and will tear into us and make us cry. But hear this today, death will never win. It will never win in the end. Because our Redeemer lives, and his eternal life is given to us by our baptisms through faith. Baptized saints, yes, blessed baptized saints of Zion Lutheran Church, because Jesus lives, you too will live again. He is the champion, and he has marked you as his own in baptism, so your grave cannot hold on to you. Even though your grave is staring at you and your body will be put 6 feet under, you shall sleep secure. For you have heard today that you will stand before Jesus, glorified and whole and complete, so that you will sing his praises forever. What better way, my friends, for a Christian to face death and suffering than with the vision of Jesus? With that vision of Jesus shining on that mountaintop and knowing that we are looking at a glory that he gives to us. This is the eternal glory that waits you on the other side of the grave. This is why the miracle, yes indeed, this is why the miracle was revealed to Peter and James and John. And this is why the miracle was revealed to you personally this day. You are baptized. Yes, you are baptized. You belong to Jesus. Jesus' glory belongs to you. Do not fear. Indeed, do not fear. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast sermon. You can access a full manuscript of today's sermon from Pastor Matthew Richard's blog at www.PastorMattRichard.org or visit Zion Lutheran Church's website at www.ZionGwinner.org. The Lord bless and keep you.